Hey, I'm Emma Hartz, and welcome back to What Hearts Hearts, a podcast for bookworms and lazy students, much like me. If anyone is in dire need of a recap of the last few episodes, I ranted on and on about the beginning and body of Crier's Cross. Our main character, Kendall Fletcher, loses her classmate and then her boyfriend, Nico Cruz, to similar missing persons cases. They seem to disappear without notice. Kendall's OCD won't allow her to grieve normally, so she must figure out the case for herself. One of her triggers was to memorize all of the graffiti on every desk in her tiny 24-kid high school. She spies new graffiti on Nico's desk calling for help, but that would have been impossible. She obsesses over it. At school, she begins sitting at it and resting her head on it every day. Jacian Morales, Kendall's unlikely new friend, worries about Kendall as she falls into a depression without her boyfriend and best friend. He's beginning to care about her more and more, even though their relationship only thrives through their daily stalker scrimmages. He and his sister, Marlena Morales, feel that without Nico, Kendall's lights will die out. I'm finally finished reading Crier's Cross, and it was a wild ride. After reading it and telling it to you, it feels like I've practically lived in the book. Last episode, I predicted that Jocelyn had been holding Nico captive to try to get closer to Kendall, but man, I was dead wrong. Big warning, bookworms, huge spoiler ahead. Now, here's what you've all been waiting for. The big ending. As I said, Kendall had begun resting her head against Nico's old desk every day at school. After this, she even began hearing a voice, one that sounded oddly enough like Nico's. The desk became Kendall's drug. She missed Nico's voice more than anything. Jacian continued to worry, but he still tried to get closer to her. She even went horseback riding with him, and it manages to shed her of Nico for a moment. But sadly, Jacian had a love interest in Kendall, and tells her that she needed to move on from Nico. But Kendall couldn't. She missed Nico too much, and she still had hope. His voice was still there. After a few weeks, Kendall got to school, excited to hear his voice, but then she notices more new graffiti. Out through the woods beyond Crier's Cross, it reads. Kendall perked up for the first time in months. She believed she'd see Nico again. Kendall packed a small bag of food, and the voices had fully gotten into her head. It urged her to find Nico. He was so close to her. She ran as fast as she could, injuring herself but not caring. She was drunk on Nico's voice. Finally, she found in the woods what looked like a boarded-up school. The voices urged her to bury herself alive. Eagerly obliging, she threw stones over herself, thinking about how she'd soon see Nico. Hours passed, and she woke up. She still heard the voices, but she realized what was happening. She weakly crawled from the dirt and saw a fresh mound next to her. To her horror, her dead boyfriend, Nico Cruz, was buried right next to her. Just as shock set in, Jacian found her. He ran her to the hospital as fast as he could. After Kendall healed, Jacian's grandfather told her his past. He had gone to a reform school as a boy, and he had a vicious headmaster. He had whipped the students over one very specific, and you might find familiar, desk. He said that the desk was possessed, because he knew while trying to find Kendall, he touched the desk, and he heard voices too. To end the book Crier's Cross, the desk was burned to cinders. The ending of Crier's Cross was nothing like I had expected. I feel stunned. It turned out that Jocelyn had never had a bad bone in his body, and Nico had killed himself for a possessed desk, which is a little wild. I'd rate the ending of Crier's Cross with a 9 out of 10. It was an ending which I'd never expect, which is awesome. What I didn't like, though, is that McMahon threw all of the information at you in the very end, while the introduction and body of Crier's Cross were somewhat slow. I really loved the bits of writing from different perspective between chapters. It turned out that it was the voices speaking from inside the desk. Confusing at first, but very unique foreshadowing once you realize it. I will admit, though, that this wasn't Lisa McMahon's best, but I still enjoyed it. For anyone else looking for her, I'd suggest the Wake Trilogy. Thank you so much for listening to the first few episodes of What Hearts Hearts. Now that I've finished my first book, I'm still asking for suggestions on how to improve, but now I'm for asking for book recommendations. Tell me what you guys want to hear. I'm grateful for each and every listener, because without you, I wouldn't be reading or recording. Whatever I read next, be ready for it. This is Emma Hearts signing off. As I already said, thank you for listening, and don't forget to let your heart heart what it hearts.